listen everybody to the words I have to say. Better get ready, because the Lord is coming one day.
Thank you for tuning in to the Prophet Daniel's Report. This is Daniel White IV, the eldest son of Daniel White III. The intro music that you just heard is my late grandfather, Daniel White Jr., singing a song titled Get Ready. Today, my father, Daniel White III, is going to share with you news and information relating to biblical prophecy so that you can be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel White III is the national best-selling author of over 20 books, including Just Jesus and the Prayer Motivator. He has spoken in meetings across the United States and in 23 foreign countries, and is the president of Gospelite Society and Torch Ministries International. Now, here's your host, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Prophet Daniel's Report. This is report number 731. My name is Daniel White III, here to remind you that Jesus Christ is coming back one day, and that you need to be prepared. This podcast is not about predictions, nor is it about setting dates, as some people, some preachers, foolishly have done in the past. However, it is all about preparation. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get your house in order and prepare to meet your God. First, today, let's look at some signs of his coming in the news. The disciples asked Jesus Christ in Matthew 24:3, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus Christ gave them, and us, if you will, by extension, clear signs that show us when we can begin to expect to see the coming of the Lord and the end of the world as we know it. Looking at world events through the lens of the Word of God, let's look at some headlines from today's news that point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, today, under the sign category of pestilences and fatal epidemic diseases, according to Nature.com, on November the 1st, 2021, official data suggested the global death toll from the coronavirus plague pandemic passed over 5 million. Some believe that it's closer to 10 million, the actual count. It has now reached 5.5 million, according to them. But that figure is a significant underestimate. Records of excess mortality, a metric that involves comparing all deaths recorded with those expected to occur, show many more people than this have died in the plague pandemic coronavirus. Working out how many more is a complex research challenge. It is not as simple as just counting up each country's excess mortality figures. Some official data in this regard are flawed. Scientists have found in more than 100 countries do not collect reliable statistics on expected or actual deaths at all, or do not release them in a timely manner. Demographers, data scientists, and public health experts are striving to narrow the uncertainties for a global estimate of plague pandemic deaths. The World Health Organization is still working on its first global estimate, but the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation in Seattle, Washington, offers daily updates of its own modeled results as well as projections of how quickly the global toll might rise. And one of the highest profile attempts to model a global estimate has come from the news media. The Economist magazine in London has used a machine learning approach to produce an estimate of 12 million to 22 million excess deaths, or between 2 and 4 times the plague pandemic's official toll so far. I would concur with that, and I would also say that we are approaching bubonic plague proportions. Second today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Hill, Chinese President Xi Jinping on Monday called on world leaders to back away from a Cold War mentality and advised that they seek out win-win outcomes. Speaking at the World Economic Forum via video conference, Xi opened his remarks by saying the world must clear the shadow of the plague pandemic and boost economic and social recovery and development in order to achieve these goals. The Chinese leader said the world must embrace cooperation. Xi said we need to discard Cold War mentality and seek peaceful coexistence and win-win outcomes. Acts of containment, suppression, or confrontation arising thereof do all harm, not the least good, to world peace and security, he added. History has proved time and again that confrontation does not solve problems. It only invites catastrophic consequences. The Chinese leader's remarks come as the U.S. moves to shift its defense priorities to the Asia-Pacific region under the Biden administration. Last year, when the U.S., United Kingdom, and Australia announced a trilateral deal to develop nuclear submarines, offending France in the process, China accused the West of stoking an arms race and threatening regional security. Tensions between the U.S. and China were also worsened due to Beijing's increasing aggression toward Taiwan, the island nation that China claims as part of its territory. Third today, under the sign category of earthquakes in diverse places, according to the New York Times, two earthquakes struck a remote mountainous area of western Afghanistan, killing at least 27 people and destroying hundreds of homes. The earthquakes occurred on Monday after 3 days of heavy rainfall, which left mud brick houses vulnerable along the mountain slopes. Baz Muhammad Sawari, a spokesman for the governor in Badghis province near the border with Turkmenistan, said hundreds of houses had been destroyed in impoverished areas in the Qadis district in the southern part of the province. Men, women, and children were killed, many of whom had been inside the buildings. Asmatullah Sharifa, a resident of the affected district said by telephone that the death toll would most likely rise significantly because many families were still buried under the rubble. The first quake struck just after 2 p.m. local time and registered a magnitude of 4.9. The second struck about 2 hours later, 6 miles away, registering a magnitude of 5.3. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, not to mention the horrifying volcano eruption out in the Pacific Ocean that has devastated one island kingdom. Pray for all of these people. Now, beloved, it's time for Prophecy Boot Camp. Prophecy Boot Camp is where we deal with the basics, the fundamentals of prophecy, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and what will happen in the future according to the Bible, the Word of God. Our aim here is not to make predictions, but to help you get prepared by understanding how things will unfold in the end times. Our topic for today is titled The Rise of the Antichrist, Part 12. Is the Antichrist Alive Today? Part 3, from Dr. Tim LaHaye, who is now with the Lord, and Dr. Ed Heinsohn's book, The Essential Guide to Bible Prophecy. Any apparent delay in Christ's return is not due to God's indecision, but to the fact that he has not let us in on the secret, and also because God is not willing that any should perish. He is still waiting on souls to come to know Christ as Savior. Nor has he revealed this to Satan, who is a limited, finite being. Satan himself is left guessing when the rapture might occur. This means he must have a man in mind to indwell as the Antichrist in every generation. In other words, any one of a number of people could have been the Antichrist, but only one will be. Satan, too, must keep selecting candidates and waiting for God's timing, if you will. The Apostle Paul comments on this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, where he tells us that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, will not happen until the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, verse 3. He then writes, "You know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time." Pardon me, verse 6. Only after the rapture of the church will the identity of the Antichrist be revealed. In other words, you don't want to know who he is. If you ever do figure out who he is, and you're still here on earth, you've been left behind. Since Satan must prepare a man to be his crowning achievement in every generation, we should not be surprised that several likely candidates have appeared on the horizon of human history, only to vanish away. Satan must wait on God's timing. He can't make his move until God removes the restraining power of the Holy Spirit indwelling the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit is the agent, and the church is the means by which God restrains Satan's diabolical plan until the Father calls us home to heaven by means of the rapture. Now, beloved, in the meantime, Satan waits for his opportunity to destroy the whole world and the ultimate plan of God. He may be a defeated foe, but he has every intention of keeping up the fight to the very end. Even now, he is moving about restlessly, searching for the right man to be the Antichrist. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode. Now, beloved, in closing, let's consider what God wants you and I to do in light of his second coming. Jesus Christ said in Luke 19:13, to occupy till I come. In light of that, we are continuing our journey through the book Coming Events and Present Duties by Dr. J.C. Ryle. It is a collection of what he called prophetic tracts that focus on the believer's duty in light of these signs which point to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This section is titled Scattered Israel to be Gathered. Part 31, Dr. J.C. Ryle continues, I believe furthermore that it is a duty incumbent on all Gentile Christians to be especially careful that they take up stumbling blocks out of the way of Israel, and to see that they do nothing to disgust them with Christianity or hinder their conversion. This is a matter which is expressly mentioned in Scripture. And there we find Isaiah bidding us take up the stumbling blocks out of the way of God's people. Truly, the prophet might well speak of this. No man can look around the Gentile churches and fail to see that he had cause. What shall we say of the glaring unholiness and neglect of God's Ten Commandments which prevail so widely in Christendom? What shall we say of the open, unblushing idolatry which offends the eye in all Roman Catholic churches? The Pope, if you will allow me to add, kissing the foot of the baby porcelain Jesus. God forbid. What shall we say of the widespread habit of Sabbath breaking, which is eating like a cancer into the heart of the Protestant churches? What shall we say of the rationalistic mode of interpreting Old Testament history, which has crept so extensively into modern commentaries, modern preachers such as Andy Stanley, the system of regarding the histories of Abraham and Jacob and Joseph, and the like as so many myths unnecessary to the Christian faith, God forbid, or ingenious fables, but not as narratives of facts which really took place. May God help us. What shall we say of the traditional mode of interpreting Old Testament prophecies in which so many Christians indulge, the system of appropriating all the blessings to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is in the so-called prophets of prosperity gospel, which we hope is dead and buried in this coronavirus plague that we're in right now, talking about I'm the head and not the tail, which is referring to Israel and not to us, and handing over all the bitter things to poor, despised Israel, the system of interpreting all prophecies about Christ's first advent literally, and all prophecies about his second advent figuratively, requiring the Jew to believe the first in the latter and refusing in turn to believe the second except in what is called by a sad misnomer a spiritual sense. No doubt the woman who just yesterday in New York City was walking down the street and spit in the face of two Jewish children, evidently waiting on their ride to synagogue school, and then told them she wished Hitler had finished the job. No doubt was a Protestant. What shall we say of all these things but that they are stumbling blocks, great stumbling blocks, in the way of the conversion of the Jews? What are they all but great barriers between the Jew and Christ, and barriers cast up by Christian hands? May God help us. We must all do our part in aiding to take these stumbling blocks away. Here, at least, all may help. Here, at any rate, every Gentile Christian can aid the Jewish cause. The more pure and lovely we can make our holy faith, the more we are likely to recommend it to Israel. The more we can check the progress of the Roman apostasy and protest against its idolatries and corruptions and our own hypocrisies in the Protestant church, so-called, the more likely is the Jew to believe there is something in Christianity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man, the Son of Jews. Glory be to God. Always remember, our Savior was a Jewish carpenter and is a Jewish carpenter, if you will. The more we can promote the habit of taking all Scripture in its plain literal sense, the more we are likely to remove prejudices in the minds of honest inquirers of Israel, and to make them ready to hear what we have to say about Jesus Christ, their Messiah and ours. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at this topic and more in our next episode. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for this time together around your holy word in the great hope of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let your will be done in your time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, help us to occupy until you come. Amen.
If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready. Get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Prophet Daniel's Report. Remember, you can stay up to date with prophecy news and events on our website at secondcomingherald.com. If you would like to know more about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, what to do after salvation, or looking for a good church home, please visit gospellightsociety.com for more information. This radio broadcast can be heard daily on Live 365, BCNNRadio7.com, GospelLightWorldRadio.com, Buzzsprout, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and can be downloaded from numerous outlets online. God bless, and until next time, keep looking up for your redemption draweth nigh.